Chapters is out of the course of enjoyment. And again, we're doing text 25 and 26, the book of recorded. But I guess because you're short of big words, I was going to treat. They kind of connect as well. So I'll just do the same shit on my own and I'll try to do it. Because it's not metered, so it won't be expensive. But church of Jazika, Rajavika, Bodhika, Bodhika, Niyama, Dasunam, Rati, Karane, Koko, the Run Person, Kaya, Ushana, Namaste. But sometimes, cha also chika vata adi, such as cold and strong wind, and they cut various adi vata vata, made by the demigods, bodhika, adi bodhika. Created by other living beings. Adiyanam, Adiyatmaka, created by the body and mind. Dasanam, of conditions of misery. Pratinibharane, in the counteracting. Alpha. Unable to run very severe chintaya, high anxiety, isana, morose, aste, any names, translation, report, president, receive, and the names. Unable to protect themselves from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives in life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity and snares of the demigods, such as eating wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising of the mind and body themselves. Unable to detach himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of meditation. These threefold miseries a misery suffered by mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, such as using wind and scorching heat. Miseries offered by other living entities, the miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. The so-called happy materialistic person is constantly having to endure the threefold miseries of life, called Adi-Daivaka, Adi-Atmaka, and Adi-Bodhika. Actually, no one can counteract these threefold miseries. All three may assail one at one time, the one misery may be absent and the other present. Thus, the living entity is full of anxiety, sharing misery from one side or the other. The conditioned soul must be disturbed at least one of these three miseries. There is no escaping. And all the guys in the shirt and the shirt, yeah. So I'm sure it will tell you that that's right, she's a good day in London. So Jeff Harrod is continuing to pack the bubbles of illusion that as you're living them, may be maintaining. They vigorously assailing the illusion that one can be happy under the material platform. So this is quite a body blow to the attempt at other conditioned soul to try and enjoy this material world. But let me ask the question, does this verse of purport, does it apply to someone who's sincerely practicing Sahara Bhakti? Is this applicable? Yes. Say. Okay, so also we're hearing that it does apply. Then, let me just read that first sentence again. Being unable to protect themselves from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of meditation. So it is conditioned soul. So this brings up some interesting questions about the stresses that are devoted to the world. The first characteristic of pure devotional service is klesha mean. And this means that this occurs on the Saturn platform, and there is a given that the devotee is actually practicing pure devotional service, Uttama Bhakti. A lot of times when people hear that they're practicing Uttama Bhakti, does that mean they're an Uttama Adhikari? No, it doesn't. It means that they're functioning within the parameters enunciated by Sri Rupa Goswami's definition in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of the process of Uttama Bhakti. And the Abhilasi Tasunya, the Adhikaravadi Navitama, Kulina, Krishna, and Ushila, and Mantra Uttama. So when first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of material desires and others obtained by the mystery philosophy and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So, through the fleeting desires that go through my subtle body, based upon my past nefarious activities, do they disqualify me from practicing Uttama Bhakti? Another question to the master, to all the devotees here. Any responses to these fleeting desires to go through my consciousness? Just like if they were a Bollywood movie actress that walked through the door and goes in a male body, noticed her, and somehow they were affected by it. Does that mean necessarily just because they're affected by it, they recognize, oh my goodness, that they are outside of the parameters of Uttama Bhakti? Okay, so if Vivekananda is answered and no one else is answered, does that mean everyone kind of gave up on and thinking about it, or that's true? Yeah, do we have the microphone yet, or does that come later on in the process? Generally speaking, to keep people's cerebral cortex functioning properly, I usually try to make it a little interactive. So, okay, so you just say it super loud, people. If you're out on stage time and you're stopping someone who's 50 meters ahead of you. Yeah, so in other words, as long as we don't return to these practices to insulate ourselves from these desires that may still be within our mind, admit that they're there, understand, recognize that they're not healthy for our spiritual lives, that they, you know, if you try to indulge them, then they are injurious for our spiritual existence. And they go on, this whole Uchaha Nishraya of Dariyat, this whole enthusiasm, full confidence, and patience, that eventually these fleeting desires won't be here anymore. That way we can function within the parameters of Uchaha Bhakti as long as the other parameters are met. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be completely free from the material desires. Okay, so I don't want to get off into a whole, you know, class on the definition of Uttama Bhakti, but it's important that in order for Klesha need to actually be in a class that runs on that platform. So Klesha need, let me ask you another question, and this is for everybody to think about. How many of you, I request a show of hands, have suffered or have felt some distress in the last 24 hours in one way or another? Please raise your hand if you're in that category. Okay. Now, Shuddhaswami, our Shuddhaswami, that's a previous acharya, actually his previous acharya, but it's his kind of previous acharya, he often quoted Lord Buddha as saying that distress is compulsory and suffering is optional. Distress is compulsory, suffering is optional. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, as long as we have this material body, there's going to be some distresses. And there's an interesting phenomenon that took place in the last 2 or 3 weeks of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes on this planet. He was suffering from very severe illness, which, according to the medical, to the doctors that were attending him, would induce high levels of pain. And it would be wondered how it was that Srila Prabhupada wasn't screaming for shots of morphine. And so they actually asked him, how is it, Srila Prabhupada, that you're able to maintain mental equilibrium in spite of the body condition? And, you know, you're not asking for painkillers. So I talk about quoting from the fourth text of the 10th canto. And he said, but what is about chitra, and we'll get on that. My medicine is little kind of pressure. It says this in the beginning, right, in the title page of the Krishna book. Little kind of pressure, upagiyamana, but what is about chitra, and we'll get on that. Uttama Shloka Vimanananda, Vimananda Rajetan, Vimananda Shukha. So, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the Prabhupada system. And it's very important to exhaust it with hearing glorification of false cosmic, of the temporary cosmic manifestation. Right, so, this is the right medicine for Bodhisattvas, Ashodi. It's right into the Sanskrit word for medicine. I should know, I don't know, I did a treatment for the last 5 years, you know. So, it's that spectrum of the Mobile of Mass. So, it's the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing beauty, growth, and death. And who will refuse to take such medicine except a butcher who is killing his own self? So, this is how Prabhupada, he got such a taste. You know, they didn't really even experience the pain. You know, he was right to the very end. He was translating this in our language. Mumbling. You look at there's 2 minute and 22 second video that was recorded by Garubhara Nishaka it was the last recorded translation that Srila Prabhupada did. And then Madhavi sitting in his bed, right, Jesus, when he's holding the microphone, the room is right behind him, and all the Sanskrit commentaries, Prabhupada's just standing at the head of the bed. This is 10:13:53. And Prabhupada is thinking, he can barely speak, you know, he's just so emaciated from the disease. He can barely speak, but he has this very thought and his commitment and his compassion, you know, for you and me, and his commitment to the founding of the instruction of the spiritual masters within us. And what's really remarkable is that when Yadavar puts some English subtitles underneath, even the business plan. But then you compare it to the purport, and practically speaking, there's no editing. The Prabhupada has this query of thought. He hadn't eaten for days. He's barely sleeping. You know, he was so physically debilitated, but yet he had, he was completely fit in spiritual consciousness. So, this brings up another very interesting point. Suffering, what is the cause of suffering? Can someone get me? How many of you take a Bhakti Sanskrit? Is raise your hand. Wow, doing pretty good here. Quite a few. So, there's three causes of suffering, whatever. Okay, one person said, where is that microphone? Oh, you got it, okay. So, you want to answer? You got it in your hand. What are the three causes of suffering?
Anibalti, Aligari,
and No, those are the three kinds of suffering. I'm talking about the causes. This is from Abhyasarita Sindhu. Three causes of suffering. That's what it is. Okay, that's one of the causes. One of the Sanskrit, too. I have a voice over there. Desire? Okay, that's one of the points. He said that's the reason. Okay, there's something that comes before desire. Why would someone desire to enjoy material? What would cause that? Ignorance, avidya. Okay, so then comes the fuel desire. And then what actually, when one acts on that fuel desire, then there's suffering. What is that action that causes the suffering? Seems like a big problem. Okay, so those are the three causes. And then you have an interesting quote about what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvatanam Pritchatra, Mani Kamsharanam Vrata, Alam Tongsara Pakyadiyo, Mokshayasham Vansutana. So Krishna says, at the end of all Vaidic religion, after he's taken through the yoga ladder and all over the top 40 different spiritual paths, he's telling them, abandon all these, just surrender unto me, and I shall relieve you from all sinful reactions. Okay, so I would say, and I know many of you here, and I would say that many of you, you may not admit to it, but many of you are practicing Uttama Bhakti. Okay, so then, some of you that are practicing Uttama Bhakti, practically all of you that are practicing Uttama Bhakti, also raised your hand and admitted that within the last 24 hours you experienced some kind of distress. Okay, so if we have surrendered to Krishna, we're practicing Uttama Bhakti, we access Kleshakni, then why the distress? Where is it coming from? Good question. Okay, anybody got an answer? Okay, you've had your quota of answers. We're going to give others a chance to answer. Sorry. Not to push you out of the way, but you've got a lot of things in them. Yes, people.
It's coming from Krishna's.
Super loud.
It's coming from Krishna's
personal arrangements of purification.
Wow! I think we just jumped to the fast forward here.
Very good. I think we'll be talking about that a couple of days ago.
Okay, so there's an interesting reference that I got from Jennifer Sun. He was in a Victor Devotion class in Vermont in 1991. And he was talking about this. How is it that the devotees suffer? At least for undergo distress. They may not suffer because they may choose their response to the distress. So, he quotes Prabhupada as saying that when one begins to practice pure devotional service, Krishna takes charge of his sinful reactions and uses them to bring them advance in Krishna consciousness. In other words, Krishna takes it out of your account and puts it into his account. Okay, so in the Bhagavad Gita, Samhita, Brahmani Yirgahati Kintichavati Vaja. So when one takes up, this is Lord Ramana, he describes that when one takes up their devotional service, he's no longer under the laws of karma. So, you don't want to hear anymore the Buddhist karma. You're not under the laws of karma anymore, the Buddhism of Jesus. It's not there. So then, what is it? Okay, the Buddha gave a very good answer. Krishna arranges. There's a very interesting, a part of the Mahabhakya that the Buddhists have for processing distress. It's 10:14. This is prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna after the Brahma Vimalhara Riva. Bhakrima Kampam Sukhini Samaram Gunjani Atma Kutam Vipampam Rupam Bhakti Yurti Dhan in the stage of Eka Yoga Mukti Pradesh Sadayama. So when he tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions, understanding that Kunda Bhad is the result of one's mass and his feet, those are the young men's service with body, mind, and words, offering obeisances from the floor of his heart to the Supreme Lord. That person becomes eligible to enter the pure devotional service. Okay, so there's some what we can find with the comforting on this. This is the first chapter of the Prabhupada's Act Chancellor. And, we exposed him about this on several occasions, and we took it pretty much directly from the commentaries of the Acharyas. So it's a fact that Krishna arranges these distressful circumstances to eradicate all the vestiges of the enjoying spirit that remains in the heart of the devotee. Puts it into a situation where he just doesn't have any hope for happiness in the material world. So they have to take shelter of him. Now, okay, so that's nice philosophy. Wait till you get your next big boil, on the end of your nose, and see if you can apply it, Now, there's something that was a reference in the passing of Krishna Bay that really makes this come alive, the 10:14, the thing of 1.16 Shemana. And it's an easy verse to remember. You can look it up. It's 1.9.19. So all you gotta remember is 1919. Okay, so here's Krishna Chaitanya. That is very comfortable bed of arrows. Not experiencing any distress. He's trying to alleviate your atmosphere from the despondency, from the deaths of so many millions of people on the battlefield of Shetra. He's taken responsibility for it. So, in any way, in the purport, Prabhupada describes different bonds, different loving relationships that Krishna has with his devotees. He first mentions the deep love between Yashoda Naeem and Krishna, who are the Dandarila, who are this powerful Vatsalya Rasa. And then he describes the deep loving friendship between Krishna and Arjuna, this Satya Rasa. And then he mentions a couple of others, and then he says the tribulations that the devotee undergoes is another transcendental bond with the Lord. So that boils many of those, that's a loving reciprocation of Krishna. And it really makes it much easier to process when we understand that Krishna is directly controlling the distresses that we undergo. What is he doing? So that we'll turn to him, we'll cry, we'll take shelter of him, we'll become free from any desires to try and join separately from them. This is the whole purpose of the material world, to free us of this desire to join separately and independently from Krishna. He's doing it out of love for us. Somehow or other, Krishna gave me the inspiration. I did it twice. I taught a seminar. First in Berlin and then in Potomac, Maryland, Washington, D.C. Temple. And I called it the Transcendental Judo Seminar. Okay, so now let's say that Krishna Kripa is really upset with me. And he's coming up to the grasses, he's coming up to the Bhagavatam stand. And he's about ready to punch me in the nose. Okay, he lapses sometimes into these kind of views. I'm joking. He's actually a very capable person. But let's say he's doing this. If I lay a punch me in my nose, okay? So, because I've got a black belt in jiu-jitsu, I take this force that he's using to inflict injury on my nose, and I use it to flip him over. Okay? That's true. Okay, that's kind of the principle behind jiu-jitsu. So, the Transcendental Judo Seminar equips someone with basically the first three lessons of mental devotion. You know, this kind of a fancy title we get from people's fire. But it actually enables one to take what seems to be the negative energy of distress, take it, flip it over, and turn it into transcendental bliss. Okay? Would anybody like to know how to do this? Okay, so, I don't know if I've got enough time to unpack the whole thing, but basically, you know, like with anything in Krishna consciousness, you know, our ability to practice Krishna consciousness. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Can someone tell me what the qualification, according to Sri Rupa Goswami, is for advancing in Krishna consciousness? Okay, I'm not going to ask a Bhakti Shastri teacher. Someone's not being a physician. There's two points. You got one of them. In order to have faith, what do you also have to have? I'm asking for the technical explanation. Not technical, but the full technical explanation is given by Sri Rupa Goswami. In order to have faith in Shastra, you got to have. Well, I can't hear everybody because of these fans, but I'll give you the answer. It's knowledge of, you have to have knowledge before you have faith. That makes sense. Because how can you have faith in something if you don't know what it's about? So, two things qualify us for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Shastra and knowledge of Shastra. Okay? This is a lead-in. Inducing those that haven't already taken Bhakti Shastri to take it as soon as possible. Okay? So, now, let's explain this. Okay, let's get an understanding of why this is a qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness. What does it mean to advance in Krishna consciousness? First of all, we've got to clarify this term. Okay, we're getting into saying this is a qualification for advance, so what does it mean to advance? This is coming from Mahatma Gandhi, chapter 22, text 71. Okay, where there's a distinction between the qualification to advance and advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, I don't see anybody jumping off the floor with their hand raised on. Okay, so this is important information from Guru Maharaj's and Prabhu's. Advancing in Krishna consciousness means to increase one's love and attachment for Krishna. I can actually give you a reference. I used to know it by memory, but I don't think I've gotten very well memory. Okay, this is Mahatma 2271. The after 3 months of Atamye, Atatama, the devotee is considered superior according to his attachment and love. Okay, so then, if that's what it means to advance, then how is it that our qualification to advance is increased according to our knowledge and faith in Shastra? And how do we advance? Okay, so advancement means to increase one's love and attachment for Krishna. So how do we advance? Anybody? I can read them for you. End of the way, super quick. So when I got another 13 minutes and it turned into a point. Go ahead, please.
It's fascinating with someone that has knowledge and faith.
Say again?
That is fascinating with one that has knowledge and faith.
I could say it here still.
It's fascinating with one that has knowledge and faith.
Okay, just by associating, I just got to go and sit next to somebody that's got faith and knowledge for love and attachment.
So associating means caring and serving in quality.
Now that I'm a bhakti, we've got to pick up the process of sadhana bhakti. And, sometimes Prabhupada said, of all the processes of sadhana bhakti, hearing is most important. Okay? But then in other times, he says that chanting is most important. And after all, the other Hare Krishna movement, we need to recognize the chanting of Hare Krishna. So when we hear, then we become convinced of the importance of changing it as our highest priority. So when you look at it, if everyone can reflect on their japa this morning, how many chanted completely attentive vows today? Who's raising hands? We've got a couple of hands almost going up. Okay, so how is it that that enables us to chant the Ten Commandments? Okay, where does the desire come from? When you really look at it, practicing Sadhana Bhakti means keeping the mind in control. How do we do that? We do that with our spiritual intelligence. But the spiritual intelligence is very fortified by Shastric knowledge. Faith in the knowledge of Shastric is very important, very powerful. We just took the Bhakti Shastri course. And we noticed something very interesting about our Java. it's much better than it was before you took the course.
Why? Because there's greater intelligence and so forth.
It's much more, much easier, much easier to control the mind. Plus, we had the association with the Prabhupada, which is important, by reading his books, we had the association of senior devotees that are teaching, we had the association of our fellow classmates. So, in general, we're very much worried about that. But there's another interesting phenomenon. You know, the understanding that the first root cause of all known paradigms. Yeah, it's banana, an attempt at chanting. Okay? So if we make a vigorous effort to chant more vividly, Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna's pleased, it's a very nice thing. I have used it actually to grow up again in 1975 in Ahmedabad. And it describes how a king has servants, he has many servants. And the business of the servant is to please the king. So similarly, the business of the devotee is to try to please Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, this is the last sentence in his little quote, when Krishna is pleased, then we are pleased. Okay, so when we try to please Krishna, and he reciprocates with us, and gets us experience as a young shanti presented by the Srimati Radhani, we experience transcendental bliss. Okay, so let me jump a little bit now into the Bhagavad Gita. In text 2, how can the book work describes how there are two kinds of jivas. There's the Dharma and there's the Mahatma. The Mahatma, So the Mahatma is under the protection of the internal energy of the Lord. This is the Antaranga Shanti. Whereas the Dharatma, the triple-minded person who is just completely interested in his own gratifying his senses, his mind. He's the center of the universe. Now, the Dharatma, he's under the agency of the Bhagavad Shanti. And the Bhagavad Shanti, the external energies, role is to severely punish the jiva for these three kleshas that we're reading about today. The ayahata klesha, the ayahata klesha, the ayahata So there seems to be a difference. Now, everyone in the beginning of the class agreed that this verse of purport applied to the devotees. Does anybody want to change their vote as we're going along here? Are things starting to open up a little bit? That maybe the devotee has a different experience in life. I mean, after all, Sri Prabhupada did tell us to chant, dance, and be happy. I mean, is everybody just really miserable? I mean, if this verse and purport is applicable to the devotees, you'd all be taking antidepressants. And there'd be tears rolling down your eyes, I mean, down your cheeks out of depression. You know, the meditation and this thing is so morose. Krishna's baby bubble? Microphone, please.
This one has a place in this national. I always remember. Yeah.
Place them close to the mechanism.
Okay. Well, this is Swami Buddha. He spoke this verse some of my volunteers on TV in Washington 3, engaged in constantly chatting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Saudis do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my past times and activities. So I think it depends on the extent that you explore. How much you explore in Christian thought, how it determines how minimizing issues on it.
That's a memorization sloka from Bhaktivedanta works. So it's a fact, you know, that we can actually be extremely happy in our own, in this material world and experience, you know, great pleasure. You know, we have this material body that's subjected to the stresses which are mitigated by the facial manufacture of that casino from a patent. But then there's this whole other dimension of reality that opens up according to the depth of our sadhana practices and our bhajan. So we can experience the highest possible pleasures available to a jiva in this material world. One of my favorite book distribution lines, you know, I would stop somewhere, try to stay on that JFK Airport, Benefits Gerald, Kennedy Airport, you know, one of the biggest airports in the world. I used to work a lot of time. And, you know, someone would be coming and I'd be dressed in a. I actually started doing this as a dhoti and a kurta and shaved head on 42nd Street and 5th Avenue in front of New York Public Library last time I was in America. I think the last time I was in America, very long time. But I would stop the guy, you know, at the airport and say, welcome to JFK, sir, where are you coming in from? And he would say, well, St. Louis. I said, well, why do you look so blissful? You know, just kind of an icebreaker, you know, just warm things up a little bit, and he started chuckling, and I got the badge on, and he said, what's this guy coming from? I said, we're distributing 500 of these to the travelers, the most intelligent looking businessman coming to the airport. Well, here's one for you, sir. And, again, in the Bhagavad Gita. And then I'll give you a little trick. I learned this from Bijan. He said, as soon as I put it in his hand, immediately take the pen and say, let me put my game in so you will not know how you like it. And that way he would look at all the pictures and figure out, is it a Hare Krishna book? And then I would say, let me ask you a personal question. Which do you like better, pleasure or pain? And if you do this right, you kind of get a lusty look on his face and go over. And then he would say, well, pleasure, of course. And I would say, man, I think you're really the right guy here. And so this book will tell you how you can actually achieve the highest possible level of pleasure available to a human being. Does that sound all right to you? You'd say, is that all right? Well, take it with you. You don't sell them. You just ask everyone to get a donation to help cover the pain cost. It's like a 90% sale rate. It's incredible. Because Ananda is no guest center. You know, from the Kansas Church, every single one of us in this material world is pleasure seeking by nature. This is actually a characteristic of Krishna. This type of Krishna, called that in big word after big word, indicates that we share this characteristic with Krishna. We all want to be happy. Okay, now I think 2 minutes to cover the second verse. I don't want to let the word down. So I'm going to skip this answer because I'll just stumble over it anyway. As far as transactions with women are concerned, if one person cheats another, by arguing or less, they become enemies. Purport. This is called samsara dhavana. Even an ordinary transaction between two people is invariably cheating because the conditioned soul is affected in 4 ways. He's a loser, he commits mistakes, his knowledge is imperfect, and he has propensity to cheat. Unless one is liberated from material conditioning, these 4 defects must be there. So there's Brahma, Amada, Pitra Lipsa, and Karna Pratapa. Consequently, every man is achieving propensity. That's the most deep-rooted of all of them, John Frank said, achieving propensity. Which is, consequently, every man is achieving propensity which is employed in business or money transaction. Although two friends may be living peacefully together, due to the propensity to cheat, they become enemies when there's a transaction between them. A philosopher accuses an economist of being a cheater, an economist may accuse a philosopher of being a cheater who becomes a friend of the living. In any case, this is a condition of material life. When we profess a high philosophy, but when one is in need of money, he becomes a cheater. In this material world, so-called scientists, philosophers, and economists are nothing but cheaters in one way or another. The scientists are cheaters because they present so many bogus things in the name of science. They propose going to the moon, but actually end up cheating the entire public of large sums of money for their experiments. They cannot do anything useful. Unless one can find a person transcendental to the four basic defects, one should then accept advice and become a victim of the material condition. The best process is to take the advice and instructions of Sri Krishna as one by representative. This way, one can be happy in this life and in the next. So, I just make a one short comment below. Pass in the line. Please finish your Srimad Bhagavatam with Krishna and answer comments by 8:45. That class is running fast, by the way, in case you didn't know that. I'm going to talk about, imperfect senses. Before I became a devotee, I read a book by the French existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre. Did I pronounce that well? Okay, Sartre. And it was actually a play. And the title of the play was No Exit. Okay, now, he concocted his philosophy, his existential philosophy, during the German occupation of France during World War II. There were all kinds of atrocities being committed by the German Nazis against the French citizenry. And this play had scene after scene of one person torturing the other. Just this being super mean, super cruel, super. Okay, and so the final line of the play spoken by the protagonist, they're going through one incredibly hellish situation after another, he said, "Oh, now I understand hell is other people." Okay, so, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's a good thing that clock was on. In the Association of the Buddhists, there's one of my favorite verses, 11:46. This is a description of the symptomatology of a Madhyama Vaishnava. Ishvara Eta Adhigeshu, Bhadesheshu, Alisheshu, what is it? Alisheshu Vishasutsa. Prema Jitsi, Kripovacha, Raha Kuroti Samajanama. So, the Madhya Vaishnava, he gives his love to the Supreme Lord. He doesn't do politics with other devotees, okay? What he does do, he makes friendships that are an issue with other Madhya Vaishnavas. And he's Bhadesheshu Kripa. He's very compassionate to the innocent ignorant. He really tries to help others come up with Krishna consciousness. And Bhishatsu Upeksha. He would not be envious. Because he has also compassion. Because if he preaches to me, not only does he commit to not to the God of preaching the glories of the Lord into the papers, but he has I was preaching to someone, I better pay attention to him. He may set him up for making more offenses and get more entangled in the material energy. So this leaves him alone. So in other words, with the Madhyama Vaishnava culture, it doesn't have to be held as other people, heaven is other people. Because these relationships are nurturing. and make it possible for them to, you know, please Krishna in a very powerful way. It's the most powerful way to please Krishna is to have these loving exchanges with the devotees. And Prabhupada created this guy for that purpose. Okay, so I'm going to stop here before I get into real trouble. And if there are any points or questions, then maybe we just got to stop and then we'll do it afterwards. I think that's. Can I do it? What do you think, Eugene? Okay, take a question too. Okay, this is from the senior Vaishnava, this is my mom.
First of all, I would just ask you to briefly tell us what is the
So you really want to learn about transcendental Buddha?
Yeah, just in brief.
Okay. So the best way to do transcendental Buddha is chant super intense mantras and hear any single mantra. And then Krishna will give the intelligence and really understand the philosophy dealing with distress. You know, so that we actually have the option, you know, on the basis of our spiritual intelligence, to choose our response to distress, because it's going to come. So rather than allowing our minds to degrade ourselves, by the force of our spiritual intelligence, we uplift ourselves and come closer to Krishna. There's a famous verse in the fifth chapter of the 11th canto. So, after that, there's a whole description of the hellish conditions in Kali Yuga. And then there's a description of how people are under so much distress that they're forced to take shelter of a real need. And when they take shelter of a real need, it will be very, very rapid advancement. And then there's a description of how the sages of Sanchi Yuga worship Kali Yuga because the Yuga Brahman is so powerful that it elevates one to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. And Sanchi Yuga, I mean, mainly, it's Shantaras, you know, it's a meditative super soul, you know, and the Skandhi Yoga. I mean, some of the super things, they come to the Dasaras platform. So, I mean, how you know, what are you trying to come for? You came to propagate the Kriyaras. You know, this is the highest platform of exchange of Krishna. That's what that move is all about. All of the previous acharyas were all acharyas in their, you know, salute. That's amazing. You know, that's what I'm going to do, isn't it? My gosh, you know, this is what our whole move is about. There's a ton of reasons. So this chance is on Jura. You put this open of Bhakti, your devotional service on the Adivasi Katsunya, and you can transform the distress rather than allowing it to just hit you in the nose and act on the floor, that allows you to become elevated in Krishna consciousness. And looking back at my devotional career, the time when I made the most advancement was in the highest levels of distress, special mercy from Krishna. It's like Prabhupada, you discovered this verse of 88 chapter, the 10th canto. He said, what if this applies to me? Yashya hamadigarani, vishay kartaram, shanay, tatodhanam, tatantyasta, swajana, jukadhikam. And I feel especially mercy to disclose for someone. I gradually take away his material happiness. And then his friends and relatives, he built this most poverty-stricken and wretched fellow. And he started seeing this pattern in his own life. So he asked the gatherer, is this what Krishna's doing for me? He's got to be happy. So much faith in him until we understand that it's actually Krishna, it's a loving exchange. We got the spiritual strength of change for travel, of knowing what God's clear instructions of everything early, attending world directly, following the biblical principles. And then you got the spiritual strength to defeat your mind and the way of the environment. I wrote a letter, it was actually a three-month letter that brought, I wrote to Abhiram in 1979, and he said, "There is no question of spiritual life unless one is rising early, attending one life, exchanging 15 hours, and following the rules of principles. If someone's not doing that, he must fall down." So, you know, the process of Sadhana Bhakti in itself, it puts us to practice transcendental jiva. It really helps to have at your fingertips when the next big test comes, you know, all of the tantra about processing distress. You know, everybody in the room should memorize 10:14:8 and keep it ready for the next big episode. And then reinforce that memorization and that understanding is 1.9.19. Understand this is Krishna's loving exchange with you. You know, he knows where your Achilles heel is, he knows where it's going to hurt, and that's where he pushes so that you'll cry and take shelter and give up trying to enjoy it separately from him in this material world. You got you? Yes, we do.
Is there a connection between the suffering and devotional service, let's say? The devotional services, the three devotional services interacted, because we are not performing continuous devotional service, three devotional
service. Well, first of all, let me answer your first question. Is there a connection between suffering? Let's use the term distress because it's a little more succinct. It makes it more clear. According to the 11th canto, 5th chapter, I think that Krishna writes the chapter's numbers is 11:5:34, if I'm not mistaken. You look at the next 10 verses and words, and a definite connection between the intergovernmental distress. And what was the primary instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave about how to chant Hare Krishna? Cry like a child for his mother. Now, what makes it a lot easier to cry if we trap some distress? Right? So, this is an animal, you know. As we begin the process of devotional service, there may be more distress. I mean, when the night first married a woman, I had over 120 boils. And they were big ones, too. I had about 4 or 5 of them in the past. But then, you know, things change. You know, once we become more frequent in sickness, then we're pulled up to taste. This is the, you know, the American ability characterized by a lot of distress and distress, steadiness, but still distress, and a reaching to get pulled ahead, you know, by taste. And then we know, you know, we don't have any interest in material enjoyment because you've got such a high taste. So, you know, and the Krishna doesn't need to put us distress, he doesn't give us distress. He only does it because we have to require it for us to advance. If we're very serious and sincere about our sadhana practices, we don't have to get kicked from behind, we can get pulled from ahead. That's a principle, you know, of Krishna Guru. Right? I mean, look, this is something all of us have got to deal with. As a one of us, is not going to go through extremely distressful circumstances in this life. If it's not happening now, just wait. That doesn't happen. So we should equip ourselves. Interesting point. Third, in the 1996 Europe Centennial, the Centennial was observed by different pillars in the Lotus Flower. One of the pillars in the Lotus Flower was to re-reach the Prophet's standing. And the Red International Centennial Committee observed this. It was several days, they had meeting rooms. It was after the Prophet left, he and his disciples left. There was a rather, you know, disruptive period in Islam history. This was an attempt to bring people back. Another way that was observed was the International Centennial Committee published two issues of Unity Magazine. In the first issue, was an interview of Gyatso Kipu, who is the American Kipanir. He had his last birth in Bengal, his birth in America. And for the 2 years prior to the centennial, he traveled around the world and visited over 500 devotees that had disassociated themselves from Islam and stopped practicing Krishna consciousness. In the first paragraph of this first article, in this first issue of Unity Magazine, Vyasaki indicated that there were two common denominators, two things in common with all 500 of these devotees. The first is that all of them still had deep love and respect for the Prophet. Interesting. Second point is that every single one of them, somehow or other, had difficulty in accommodating in their spiritual lives the principles enunciated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:8. So now you know why I'm asking everybody in the room to learn the verse and really start applying. Because it may not be known that you're in a high level of distress, but just wait. It's coming. But anyway, you know, we've all got to, you know, go through the most distressful circumstance of death. So all of these are kind of trial runs, you know, these little distresses that Krishna sends our way. Okay? Thank you very much. I'll bless you to the Pope. I'm going to go to the next slide.